Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence of the Lord. It's okay to laugh in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God does have a sense of humor, although I don't prove that very often. He really does. I appreciate Danny's message from last week. I was just listening to it again today, and, you know, he was talking about grace. Somebody give me a definition of grace. Unmerited favor. What else is it beyond that? Danny talked about it being something else other than unmerited favor. Amen. Grace is the power of God, and he talked about that. He talked about his attack 80% of the right side of his brain had stopped working, and yet he was able to be used by God in various situations. He ran into people that needed ministry, and he ministered to them. And, you know, how many in that situation would be able to do that? The one man said, "Hey, would you shoot me? I don't know what I'd do. I hope I'd do the same thing, you know, as Danny, although I might be tempted to go to another table and not even address the problem." I mean, that's a serious problem when somebody asks you seriously and wasn't being facetious, "Why don't you shoot me? I just don't want to live anymore." And then his wife showed up and he said he was better. And then another man from Chilai area argued with Danny about the Bible. Did God write the Bible through man? And Danny was able to ask him if he had a relationship with Jesus, and he was able to witness to him, maybe the last witness that man will ever have. How many know God will continue to deal with us right up until our last breath? And then he met Tom and prayed for him and asked for prayer. And the next day he brought another man and asked for prayer, and Danny ministered. Now that's the grace of God on our lives. See? Even though we have our own problems and we've got things that we need to address, people need us because they recognize the anointing. Whether people know it or not, if you've ever been in a place and somebody starts to talk to you about strange things, it's not because they're weird. It's because they know you can handle what they're saying to you. It's not because they're weird. You think, well, it's a weird conversation. Why don't you go talk to somebody else? Nobody else can handle that but you. God opens up and has divine appointments for everybody. And then he talked about Tony Bench. Really broke my heart to hear that he had died in an automobile accident. And he was able to consider that and speak to Dee Dee in a way when she came back the next day. He said, "You know what? That didn't keep him out of heaven. He might have just went to heaven anyway. He was drunk, but he went to heaven." And I really appreciated that because that's the sign of the grace of God. Of course, we won't know until we get there. We have great hope and great grace. God's grace and mercy is above his law. Amen. God's grace put it all together, and that's really the kingdom of God. And then he talked out of John 1 about being the power to become sons of God. Power to become sons of God. Think about that. We represent God. We represent God. We have power of attorney. We do our part, and God does his. And then I liked when he touched on Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that lives in me." Christ lives in me. I don't live, Christ lives in me. Say that. I don't live, Christ lives in me. See, I died April 19th, 1981. That was my death day. And I was born again. Christ lives in me, and I live in Christ. And then I like the point he made about the Holy Spirit being a helper, not a doer. Holy Spirit was sent to help us. We do it. He helps us. He uses our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears. We should be clear. He said we should be declaring what God says about the church, our lives, and this area. Declaring is not done enough. We need to declare those things. And so I wanted to talk with you tonight. By the way, Sandra Corbett Wood, I worship you. She was a contemporary student with us at Christ for the Nations. It was nice to hear. It's been a long time since we saw Sandra. I talked a couple weeks ago about the kingdom of God. Oh, I got a neat testimony. Anybody want to hear a neat testimony? When I was in Mexico, I stayed at the Holiday Inn. It's really rough. I had roughed it, you know. Tile floors, there's no carpeting. I got upset about that. The floor was cold. No, it was good. It was a good hotel. And checked out, And I just stuck the receipt in my wallet, and I thought I'd put it on my American Express. So I said, I'll take care of all that when I get home. I'm not worried about it. And so I ordered a cab and got to the airport and got home here. So yesterday I finally got down to working out all my receipts, and I pulled the receipt out and it said $44 for the hotel. It was whatever it is in 796 pesos. It was $44. So I figured it out on my calculator and I went, no, I didn't. I know the room cost more than $44. So I called down to the hotel in Mexico and I said, here I am. I'm up here in America. Now I said I was there from 15th to the 19th. I stayed there 4 nights. You only chose to charge me $44. She said, hang on. So she got it up on her screen and she goes, no, it was paid for by the church. And here the manager of Holiday Inn goes to that church and he comped me the room. It didn't cost me anything. So the $44 was for the food I ate while I was there. I ate in the hotel lobby there. So, plus I got about 2 meals a day, 4 days, $44. That's pretty good. So, you know, there's such a giving spirit down there. It's just they've got a key, even though they're, you know, some are living rough lives, a key to, you know, they understand blessing the man of God when he comes. And I'm just so thankful. So I wrote a big letter to the pastor, and now you can go on Microsoft Word and translate it into Spanish. So I wrote it and then translated it into Spanish and sent it to him. So I hope he doesn't think I can speak Spanish, because that's... Anyway, I thought that was a neat testimony. Really neat testimony. So, amen. Yes, God is good. Very good. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the kingdom of God and I said the extension of God's rule or dominion is the kingdom of God. It's a present reality, not a future promise. The kingdom of God is here now, and Danny's word about declaring is exactly where we're at. We need to declare the kingdom of God now. How many know the kingdom of God is active and available to us even this moment? There's an anointing that we walk in all the time. There's a general anointing that rests on us at all times. Come on, someone. There's a general anointing that rests on us at all times. Sometimes all of a sudden we can figure out a problem or we know the answer to something. But we go, how did that happen? Well, how it happens is the Spirit of God is living in us and sends messages to us because of the anointing. The anointing rests upon us. There's general anointing and there's specific anointing. When the anointing comes on us to speak a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, when we pray for somebody, that's a specific anointing for the situation. That's all kingdom material. And I made a statement a couple weeks ago and I said, the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as it's in the future. I will someday, it's going to. But how many know God is looking for people to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then I talked about two things that happened to us as we were brought out from the kingdom of darkness, but God just didn't leave us in limbo, so the kingdom of light is somewhere in the future. It would be nice to go to heaven someday and play harps and talk to angels and Moses. But the anointing is now. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, but he brought us into the kingdom of light. We are partakers of his inheritance. And so when we speak, it's different than somebody else. Somebody else could pick up the Bible and quote the Bible like these politicians do every 4 years. But there's no power in it. You know, they quote the word inconvenience. It's not convenience for us. It's our lifeline. When we speak the word, things change. Into the atmosphere, things change. So not only were we brought out of the kingdom of darkness, we were brought into the kingdom of light. So tonight I want to continue on that same theme. And I made a statement a couple of weeks ago that I want to kind of springboard into this. All of history is moving towards a definite end or goal. We are not in a cyclical life. We're not living life to, you know, it's the same as it used to be, or it's going to go back to the way it used to be. It's never going to go back to the way it used to be. Things may be similar. Righteousness and holiness have no time. How many know when revival comes, we'll get right with God, we'll line up with God. I believe that's going to happen. But it's not the good old days. Everything is going toward a linear movement from darkness to light, from beginning to end. We talked about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in the end, in Revelation 21, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So there's a definite end or goal. It does not mean that we're going round in circles. This is coming to an end. We see it happening every day. We see more signs of Jesus' return. History's movement is identified as the kingdom of God. The Word of God speaks about it, talks about it. Jesus preached it. The disciples preached it. The Old Testament set us up for it. It is His kingship and His sovereignty that has never changed and never will. Psalm 96:10 says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." And we need more people, these people that have got the voice in the ear of America right now and the world, need to start declaring the kingdom of God and get off this nonsense that they're preaching. They're preaching nonsense. They're preaching nonsensical stuff. Preaching elementary. It's like they're making first grade stuff sound like it's collegiate. Anybody there? I mean, they're doing a good job of it. They're spinning like a salesman. Come on. You know, I talked about cars on Sunday. Anybody ever go to a car salesman and they act like this car has never been seen before. Nobody's ever driven it before. It's the motor is something different than you've ever seen before. It's a motor. It starts, it takes me there. The wheels, the thing, let's smell it. You know, now you can put your thing and you can talk Bluetooth and all of that. I mean, come on. Every car's like that now. Come on, somebody. And we do that with the kingdom of God. We preach the basic elementary principles of the kingdom like they're collegiate. They're not collegiate, there's basic elementary principles. We pray God answers. We lay hands on the sick, they recover. I don't walk in poverty, I walk in prosperity. We don't need a seminar again to talk about we're walking in prosperity. We need to go beyond that and start to plow the fields and bring the harvest in. That's what we're here for. Because there's tons of people who haven't heard the elementary. But we've somehow made a business of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is not a business. It's a kingdom. And the only one that benefits from the kingdom is the king. The king is benefiting. He's coming to redeem souls. He sent us to redeem souls. He sent us to be here. History's movement is identified as the kingdom of God. Until we got idiocy about 3 or 4 years ago when he changed AD and BC, now it's something, you know, after common era and before common era, BCE and AC, whatever that means. No, I got news for them. When zero started at zero, it was when Christ was born. Christ was born and all history has culminated. The very first words out of Christ's mouth was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." And there's things about this kingdom that are unlike any kingdom we've ever seen before. It can't be compared to any kingdom on the earth, no matter how thriving, no matter how successful. This is an everlasting kingdom. Psalm 145:13 says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations." This kingdom that we live in, this kingdom we're declaring, it's not something just for us four and no more. It's for everyone that will accept. Jesus said, "Narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to eternal life," but he didn't say people wouldn't find it. Why do we insist on turning the funnel around and getting everybody excited about something that isn't true and then trying to get them saved? No, we need to preach the kingdom of God. We need to have people that have the ears of the world right now to preach the kingdom of God and speak against sin like God wants us to. This kingdom is not only everlasting, it's universal. Psalm 103:19, listen to what he says. "The Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all." Let me say that again. The Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve an everlasting God, on a throne that is, His kingdom rules in everlasting and it's overall. And it is to be established as a kingdom. Matthew 6, 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's not asking something, that's declaring. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not begging God to come. We're instituting His kingdom by our words. When we speak our words, that's establishing, just like He established His throne in heaven, He's establishing His kingdom on the earth. The breaks, the fall downs, the fall aparts, the compensation, the commitment to compromise has caused the kingdom to crumble, but God's kingdom is always strong. And we're coming to a point where the false kingdom will crumble. We're going to see church doors closed by the hundreds because they just won't be able to stand up under the pressure. Will we be one of them? I was just talking to somebody today about Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan is gone. It's gone. It's already taken over by the Muslim Sharia law. It's done. It's gone. There's no coming back from that. They're running the place. Murders, rapes, instituting Sharia law. Women can't walk on the street dressed like we are. They have to dress in their whatever, hadibs or whatever they're called. It's coming. See, and we need to establish the kingdom of God in our lives, in our words. The first two chapters of the Bible depict the creation of all things, and the last two chapters portray the future consummation. Everything else falls in between these two awesome events. We are on a timeline. How many times have you heard me say, we are not born for this time by accident? We weren't thrown into a pool and says, okay, well, you live in the 21st century. God strategically placed us here. He strategically placed us here for victory. We are living in the shadow of the cross and await the crown of righteousness laid up for us. It's time to leave the cross and move on to the crown. Come on, someone. Hang around the cross if you want. I want to go for the crown. The cross behind me, the crown before me. It's not a question whether I'm saved. I don't need to hang around the cross to prove I'm saved. I need to go in the power and the anointing of Almighty God. In the meantime, between the cross and the crown, we are to occupy and progress toward the goal set for this generation. We need to preach the kingdom of God in our lives. We can't wait for fivefold ministers to do it. If you're waiting for the preachers to do it, it ain't going to get done. Preachers can only do so much. The kingdom of God must be preached by all of us. We preach it with our lives, our words, and our action. We preach it with passion. We preach it with abandon and purpose. Don't worry about who's going to back it up. God will back up the words you say. Can I just say something? You cannot hyperbolize the Word of God. You cannot talk and tell a long tale. Whatever you say about the kingdom of God, God will do. You can't exaggerate the Word of God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. As long as you've got a relationship with Him, what you say, God will back up. All we have is time to give God. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that carried over no balance from day to day, how many would like that? You know, you get your little message on your iPhone. Today, $86,000 put in the bank. I say, honey, get dressed. We're going shopping. Come on, someone. Allowed you to keep no cash in your account, though, and every evening cancel whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? I'd spend $86,000 a day. Draw out every cent and every day, of course, use it to your advantage. Well, the bank that we have is time. Every morning it credits you 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with 186,400 seconds. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You got it today. And this is where we need to put our feet down and declare the kingdom of God. The kingdom is unlike any earthly one. Earthly kingdoms outlast their rulers. That's why kingdoms are more history than they are current events. Earthly kingdoms have a beginning and an end. Our kingdom has no beginning, has no end. Think about that. My dad can beat your dad up. And I can back it up. It's a kingdom that never began, it never ends. Earthly kingdoms are subject to change with the one who is ruling. If they have an evil ruler, it's an evil kingdom. Is he a good ruler? It's a good kingdom. How many know the kingdom of God is perfect and holy and righteous and mighty and powerful? Come on, somebody. So when we speak the kingdom of God, because it never ended, it never ends and it never began, there's an established truth that when we speak the word of God, it's already been tried. We don't need to say, well, what if God doesn't? God will. Earthly kingdoms are interested in gain and power. God's already got the gain and power. Do you realize that God doesn't do anything to brag? God doesn't brag. Say, look at how big I am. He's God. I heard somebody say, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock big enough so he can't move it? How ridiculous is that? He could, but why? And the end answer is no. Any rock, no matter how big, he'd always be able to lift because he's God. We need to establish it. I'm praying that the people that have the mics, the word of God, to people, I'm saying, man, give me that chance. Put me in a place with a mic in my mouth. I'll be speaking the word of God and establishing the kingdom. I'm not going to be establishing any personal little vendetta that establishes me as something. I don't know where these guys and girls come from that, and the ones that are speaking the word, people are laughing at, but they'll have, somebody will have the last laugh. It's not going to be them. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. But we've been set up by this the whole time since God said, let there be light. Moses declared and recognized God as king over Israel. Deuteronomy 33:5, Moses said, and he was king in Jeshurun when the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. God himself declared himself as king before Jesus came. In Isaiah 43, he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. God established himself as king before the beginning of the world. Israel was established as a theocratic nation with God as their king. First exclusively, and then with earthly kings that were expected to yield to the king of all, their creator. God told them if they truly served him, he would make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And he's done that. We are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken and cannot be moved. Without a king, there could be no kingdom. But this kingdom is different from any earthly kingdom, for this king lives in his constituents. He lives in us. Come on, somebody. We don't have to get our orders from the throne and then run off and say, God, you know, keep in touch now and let's see if I obey what you told me to do. God, can you get word to me through one of your angels or something? He lives right in here. The difference between this kingdom and any earthly kingdom is it's not somebody sending power, sending military forces, sending constituents, sending ambassadors out. God lives in us. And when we speak the word of the Lord, it's right here. He's right here to back it up. He's not somewhere. He's coming. Those days are gone. Jesus sent the disciples into the villages and he said, preach the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. And then he went behind them. Jesus is not going behind us. He's here. Any kingdom is only as good as the people who make up the kingdom. Any kingdom is only as good as the people who make up the kingdom. You and I make up the kingdom. You and I make up the kingdom. With all of our little idiosyncrasies, bad jokes, terrible singing, we make up the kingdom. That's for me. Fear has stopped the flow of God to his body. Fear has gripped the body of Christ till we're afraid to say sin is sin. For Pete's sake, say sin is sin. Say righteousness is righteousness. Declare the kingdom of God. When faced with that, I love what Danny did when faced with, he said, somebody shoot me. Say, you don't want to do that. I don't have the authority to do that. You need to receive Jesus Christ. Sadly, we have been working on memory and moving on our own. We act like this kingdom is like an earthly kingdom. God sent me, now I got to go back and check with God. No, God is living in you. We live in a weird time. We live in a time where we need to go back and preach the basic principles of the Word again. We need to go back to first grade. A lot of the church needs to go back to the first grade because we've redefined a lot of things. We have redefined love. The church has redefined love. Love doesn't, it's not like God established love. It's human love. Yeah, what you're doing is wrong, but get in heaven. Let me see if I got any left. Yeah, here's a card. You can get in heaven with your sin. Just flip that at the gate and they'll let you in. We can't do that. Well, you know, we can't do that. And we do disfavor and we condemn and we send people to hell if we do it. We send them to hell. Let's not pretty it up. We send them to hell. You can go ahead and live that kind of sin. Here's the card. Get into heaven, free card. And what did Jesus say? He said, if you take one of these little ones and cause them to stumble, it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you thrown into the deepest sea. We can't do it. The warning is there. The King of the kingdom said, if you do this, this is what will happen to you. But yet by the multitudes and hundreds of thousands of people are saying it's okay. You can get into heaven. Here's your get out of hell free card. We have redefined love. We have redefined holiness. How many know we're not supposed to walk or talk or act like this world? Let me say it again. We're not supposed to walk or talk or act like this world. We can't nod our head at sin and say it's okay. It's not okay. We have redefined deliverance. We have people walking around demon-possessed. Why? Because the church has to take an authority over demons. I like one of these press conferences where these guys that are demon-possessed, there's like one man of God. Boy, if I get the chance, just walk up and rebuke the demon. Watch that thing come out of him. Some of those guys on Capitol Hill that speak, I mean, you just see demons manifesting in them. Nobody's taking authority over them, so they rule. If nobody's taking authority over them, they're legal experts. They do what they want. They occupy, they declare, they make laws, they make rules. You don't think they have demons made the rules of abortion. It's 55 million people are dead because we didn't take authority. We've redefined deliverance. We've redefined marriage. Marriage certificates now says participant and participant. Not husband and wife. My marriage certificate, when I pull it out, look at it, it says husband, Rick Smell, wife, Terry, Jean, Birkebile. It's a funny name, isn't it, Birkebile? You can make fun of her later. Of course, trade off snail. But it says participant and participant. We've redefined marriage. Anybody get married to anybody? Well, what kind of idiocy is that? And the church is saying it's okay. I just read the other day where the Presbyterian Church just ordained their first transsexual priest. Transsexual priest or pastor. Yeah, I don't know whether they're male or female. They're just kind of trans, in between. And they're preaching in a church. Can you imagine? How many would attend that church? Cutting the moorings away from the position God placed us in. Remember, He brought us out and He brought us in. We are cast, the church is cast adrift on the waves of worldliness and close to crashing on the rocks of compromise. If we continue to do what we're doing, we are going to lose the battle. We're going to lose. You say, well, you know, that's not good. If we choose, we'll lose. We need to declare the kingdom. I'm not saying something that will make it more comfortable for us. As we declare the kingdom of God, it's going to get more uncomfortable. It's not comfortability we're looking for. It's the establishment of the kingdom. And you look through history, and the strongest establishment of the kingdom was when there was all kinds of things happening in society. I was reading out of Ephesians. Brad and I were sharing together today, and I was reading out of Ephesians, and I said the backdrop of Ephesians was the temple of Diana, where sexual perversion went on all day, every day. You walk past the temple and it was right there, openly. All kinds of, I can't even repeat what was happening there. But Paul said, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've yet to get to that place. It's not saying we won't be there soon. Turn with me to Exodus 19. Let me ask you a question. Has God given the kingdom to anybody else? Has He given the kingdom to His enemy? Has He kind of yielded and said, okay, I can't do anything with this thing anymore, somebody else try it? How many know when God says He'll do it, He's going to do it? It's forever set in heaven. As a matter of fact, God in Isaiah 55 declares, He said, my word will never return void to me. It will always do what I sent it out to do. Here in Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now I want to know something. Has God changed His mind when He said, for all the earth is mine? Has He deeded, leased it, rented it to anyone else? You know, there's teaching that says Satan owns the world because of the fall of man. If I read right, Exodus 19 was after the fall of man. Exodus 19 happened before Genesis chapter 1. Is that right? Did it happen after? So after the fall of man, God said, for all the earth is mine. The enemy doesn't, he's the prince of power of the air, not the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If all the earth belongs to the Lord, what do we have to fear? It belongs to Him. And I'm part of the kingdom. And He lives in me. And when I speak, things happen. Situations change. Anointing comes. If all the earth belongs to the Lord, what have we to fear? Isaiah chapter 9 says, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, listen, of the increase of his kingdom, government, ecclesia, and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. This thing has no end. It doesn't have, there's not a re-election time happening. God's not running for something. He is the King of the kingdom, and He's established you and I in this time. By the time the Old Testament ended, there was no Messiah. The Old Testament was a time of preparation and hope. We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. We're not preparing for something. We're walking in the finished product. The kingdom is not being prepared. It's established. We read it over there. God said He's established His throne in heaven. It is with this backdrop that we have been born for such a time as this, you and I. A time of shaking all around, but upon which we stand immovable, unshakable, and eternal. It can't come near me. It can't come near me. Monster. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof as long as I'm listening to the Lord. We are not living in an age of preparation. We are living in an age of declaration, demonstration, and results. We declare the kingdom of God is here. We demonstrate it by our lives, our holiness, and we get results. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If God said be immovable, can we be immovable? Say, be immovable. You say, oh God, I don't know. Can I be immovable? I'll try. No, He would never tell us to something that we can't do. Jesus would never command us to do something we couldn't do. He doesn't tease us. He doesn't say, go be immovable. Give it a try. And if it doesn't work, come back and I'll help you. Be immovable. Be immovable. When we make that commitment to obey God's word and to believe God's word, we're steadfast. We're unwavering. Set your pace and direction and do not change it. Let's get bold. I'm getting ready to live this because it's always nice to be immovable and steadfast among other Christians. Because we're part of the living stones, we're part of the wall. If I'm immovable and steadfast, you are too, big deal. But it's something to be immovable and steadfast in the marketplace. Next Wednesday I have a school board meeting on Wednesday morning. I appreciate your prayer and asking God to move on my behalf because I'm gonna say things that need to be said that haven't been said at the school board level God's leading me to say that. I'm just gonna load up the gospel gun and blow it out. Boom. That's the way things are gonna be. Yeah. I'm an elected official too. I've got my opinion. My opinion counts and my vote counts. Immovable. Conviction is vitally important when temptation comes. When temptation comes to be movable, to yield, we've got to say, no, I'm immovable. Always err on the side of power, not on the side of compromise. If you err on the side of compromise, the enemy takes an inch, he'll take your life. Don't yield to him even a bit. Paul said, I wouldn't give myself to the enemy even for an hour. One of the evils of this modern day, if we be any who judge, is the scarcity of men and women in places of leadership who are willing to speak their convictions at the risk of popularity. We live in an atmosphere where what we say out of the word is not going to be met with a pat on the back. Most likely it'll be met with a punch in the face. But it has to be said. We have no choice. To not speak is to speak against. People say, well, I just won't say anything. Saying anything is agreeing with the enemy. Not saying anything is agreeing with the enemy. If you don't say something, what you're saying is, I agree with the status quo. We've got to speak up. Every man must fight the evil he sees. If he doesn't oppose it, he accepts it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God one day and he goes, why didn't you speak up for me? Why didn't you speak up for me? I don't want to go there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm closing here. I'm trying to close here sometime before I get to the end of this thing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He has spoken and is speaking from heaven. But when he's speaking in these moments, in these last moments of history, not only will earth be shaken, but heaven will be shaken. The rule of the prince and power of the air is about ready to come to a close. And the questions we need to ask ourselves, are we hearing correctly? Are we obeying? His voice does the shaking. Truth changes things. Truth strengthens the things birthed from it and destroys the things that are born from lies. Kingdoms rise and fall on past and present truth. This thing that has been built, especially here in this nation, started back way back in the 70s and 80s whenever we talked about being politically correct. How many know politically correct used to be laughed at and scoffed at, but now it's the rule of the hour. If we were in Canada tonight, I'd be going to jail tonight from what I just said. It's a hate crime to preach against sexual deviancy. go to jail. Can't speak against homosexuality, transgender. Can't do it. I applaud our president. Just came out today and said, no transgenders in the military. He's going for the gold, man. He's going for the gold. He doesn't care. I mean, you talk about people being angry. 2 Corinthians 4. Turn over there to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, the backdrop of this being written, of course, is the persecution that the Corinthian church is going through, as well as the Ephesian church. The birth of the church was not a non-violent thing. It was a violent thing. Birth of the church, many lost their lives. It was built on the blood of the martyrs. People were killed, beheaded for their faith, beaten for their faith, tortured for their faith. And Paul has the audacity to say in verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, man's just been beaten with 40 stripes. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now here's a man who knows what he's talking about. Hope is a twin to faith because we know in our spirit we declare with our lives. God will take care of us. Dying to self brings life to the new creation. I was humbled on Sunday night. I listened to Reinhard Bonnke's constituent. Daniel Kalanda spoke at Azusa Now. And he spoke the very same message I spoke on Sunday morning to the world. Very same message. Even some of the same illustrations that I used, he used. Now, I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I say that I'm humbled that God's getting a message out all over the world. He's getting a message out all over the world. Daniel Kalanda, Azusa, he's the disciple of Reinhard Bonnke, Christ for All Nations. You can look it up. You can watch the video. He preached a strong message. Therefore, do not lose heart. No matter how tough it gets, our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. The very properties of living as king. We are improving, can you believe it? Look at somebody and say, you're improving. See, we're not the same as we were yesterday. We're drawing closer to God. Why? Listen to this very carefully because this will open up kingdom truths to you. Because he who began a good work in you shall complete it. He is working to perfect you, to make him look more like you, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not. God has not taken a day off and said, I'll let you go and see how things work out. See you tomorrow. He's always working on us. Our outward man may be perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Whew. I can't wait. There is no more fear of death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I'm not afraid of death. We don't have any fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. And then lastly, been trying to close for 10 minutes, but I promise. Ephesians 3:10 says this, to the intent now that the variegated wisdom, or manifold wisdom, the King James says, of God might be made known from the heavens to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Is that what it says? Anybody paying attention? By who? Who's the church? Who's the spokesman for the church? Say, I am. Well, that's what we hired you for. You be the spokesman, we'll go rah, rah, ree, kick him in the knee. Come on, somebody. We are the church. the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by us according to the eternal purpose. This isn't just something that God came up with. Now that I got you guys around, go out and represent me. This was an eternal purpose, as old as God is, which had no beginning. From the beginning and before, He had planned for you to establish His kingdom. When He accomplished it in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, verse 12 says, through faith in Him, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. God's eternal purpose is to exhibit, proclaim, demonstrate, and act and walk in the manifold wisdom of God. You and I have no second, it's not A, B, C, or D. This is not smorgasbord obedience. God, I can't reach this place, so I'll reach this place. God says, no, this is for everybody. To exhibit, proclaim, to demonstrate, to enact, and to walk in the manifold wisdom of God. It's a matter of faith, walking in the completed works. Whatever you did has already been completed. Whatever you do tomorrow has already been completed. Think about that. I wish it worked that way in mowing lawns, don't you? See, that's all I get done is mow. I go out to mow the lawn, and 2 days later, it's like, mow me again. Speak to it. You know, mow it and leave it. Just stay that way the rest of the summer. Mind the only lawn that does. I might try that. I might be it. Why isn't your lawn growing? Because I told it not to. Pardon me? Haircut. Get a flock of sheep. Then I'd have other problems. And I'd be cleaning up sheep stuff. The kingdom of God is one of my favorite subjects because it's what we live in. It's what we live in. What we reflect. We reflect His glory. We reflect His authority. Somebody tell me what the kingdom of God is in your own words. What's the kingdom of God? You mean in the church, in the spiritual life, or someone else? What's the kingdom of God? Rule and authority. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, we get front row seats. Front row seats, and we're going to be involved right there in the thick of things. Several years ago, I was listening to a couple in California that their house was right in the line of fire, and the fire came and burned. It's always fires in California with this. And one of the comments they said was, we knew the fire was around us, but we didn't know it would come this soon. Said they woke up and the fire was right out in their backyard. And they had to evacuate. Before they could think about it, they had to leave. They just picked up what they could take. And by the time they got out and drove out to where the police were, their house was consumed. It just happened that quick. We all see the fire. We see it burning parts of the world up. And let me tell you, I don't want to be a prophet of doom. I don't want to be, but I'm telling you, you wake up one day and it'll be here. And you got to know what you're going to do. You got to establish right now what you're going to do and how you're going to act, because it's falling apart. There's no way it's going to hold together. It's going to fall apart. But when it falls apart, we're going to be the ones that people run to, because we're going to know what to do. The order from heaven is right here. It's in us. Yes. Blink of an eye. When He says it's like lightning that goes from the east to the west, it's not just His return, it's that whole thing building up to His return. Yes. No. But you and I said the same thing when I was young. That's what I thought too in the back of my mind. Lord, could I just see my grandkids and see them married? And yeah. Praise God. They are coming back. They are coming back. Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for the words that were spoken by everyone. God, there's a sense in this room, a holy sense of Your perfect timing. And Lord, we've been trained all these years for a purpose and a reason. We're not going to be easily fooled by the times or seasons. Father, we're going to speak Your word and establish Your truth right here and right now. So Father, we thank you for that. We do pray for the prodigals that they would come back to the church. Lord, we pray for those that have backslidden and become disillusioned by the church. We pray that they would come back. We need them, God. Release the POWs and the MIAs, Father. Release them back to us, O God. We ask your blessing upon them as they traverse their way back to us. We pray for the least, the last, the lost as well. Bring them, Father. We'll know what to do, God. Establish our truth, Father, as we speak your truth through our lips. May it be established in power and anointing. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.